Amen. As you remain standing, would you please take a copy of God's Word and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. It is so good to have folks visiting with us for the very first time. We're so glad that you're here, and folks coming back as well, haven't been here for a little while. So good to see each and every one of you. Good to have Jacob and Catherine down with us from Sault Ste. Marie, just visiting with us this morning. So glad to have them back with us. Of course, you understand this, don't you? Even though God moves you away, you're still family, right? And we're so glad that they're here this morning. Romans chapter 10, and we're now looking at verse number 13 down through verse number 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Keep your place there. That'll be our main text this morning for the message. Pray with me if you would, please. Father, we do thank you this morning for the power of your word. We thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now to listen attentively what you have for us from this passage of scripture. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Giving to the Lord, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you, said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. One by one they came, as far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. But I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave."
Amen. Amen. And that is why we go. Amen. That's why we go. We go with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can see others' lives changed. With the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave me the gracious opportunity yesterday to preach at a funeral and saw seven people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And hearts just wide open for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of the gospel. You can preach it anywhere and God can change people's lives. And I'm so thankful for the power of the gospel. Romans chapter 10 this morning. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look at your feet. I know you got shoes on. But just try to look at your feet. Some of you are probably glad you have socks and shoes on. Let me ask you, do you think you have beautiful feet? Some of you are saying no. Some of you are saying yes. Some of you are not really sure. But our text reveals that God thinks you have beautiful feet if you are a soul winner. And he thinks your feet are beautiful because of where your feet can take you. You see, God did not give you feet so you could go where you want to go. He gave you feet so you can go where he wants you to go. And our feet need to take us to people who need Jesus. Now think about it, just in this past week, where did your feet take you? Did your feet, if you would, cross the path of anyone who needed the Lord Jesus? And did you happen to open up your mouth and at least give some kind of witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, this morning I want us to concentrate on this thought for a little bit. And the title of the message is this: Get on Your Feet. Get on your feet. Would you notice with me, if you would, first of all, this main thought: our feet have a message to share. The Bible here says in this context, the scripture, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Underscore that phrase, the gospel of peace. We live in a world, as you know, filled with bad news. You watch any kind of news, I don't care if it's local or cable news, you're going to hear story after story after story of bad news. In fact, if you sit there and watch it for a half hour or a full hour, you're probably not going to walk away saying, "Man, I'm encouraged, let's go out into the world." I doubt it, because we live in a world filled with bad news. We do. But the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible here in this context says that we are to go with our feet and preach the gospel of peace. Now, as we watch television, as we watch the world around us, and we see, if you would, the things going on just in our country alone, we basically are witnessing, if you would, the results of the sinfulness of man. Some of these acts, if you would, take us by surprise. Some things that we would never see happen in the United States of America, now we are witnessing them. And it, if you would, it shocks us because we just have never seen it. But yet, really, if you would, understand this, that basically what we are seeing is the sinfulness of man. Man just living out his sinfulness. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior. So if you would, he seems to only have one way to act, and that is he acts as a sinner. He only has one mindset. His mind is not on God. His mind is not on Jesus Christ. So when we see mankind act out the way they are currently, then we are basically seeing, if you would, the sinfulness of man on display. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to notice the first three verses of this passage. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 3, and I want you to see here how the Bible paints the picture of the sinfulness of man. It's not a pretty picture, okay? But notice now in verse number 1, he says, "And you hath he quickened." Now notice here, he is saying that we were once dead in trespasses and in sins. So when one person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, here Paul is writing to a group of believers at Ephesus, and he is saying to them, this is what your life was like before you came to Christ, BC, before Christ. Now in verse number one through verse number three, he is basically saying this is after Christ. But what I want you to see is this. Is in these three verses, he paints the picture of the sinfulness of man, and he says, man is dead in trespasses and in sins. I would remind all of us, in fact, I have a good display of this right in front of me here this morning with Levi sitting right here, and how many months now? Six. Now, it may be hard for Jamie and Logan to believe this, but do you realize that this little boy was born as a sinner? Now, to them, most beautiful thing in the world, right? Yeah, that's what my parents thought too. And that's what I thought about my kids. But boy, it didn't take long to realize the evidence of the sinful nature. Why? Because the Bible says for us in Psalm 51 that in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, we were all born with a sinful nature. And so here in verse number 2, he says, he goes on and says this, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, that was our mindset before we came to know Christ, and that is the mindset of people who know not Christ. They are walking according to the course of this world. They don't know any better. Satan has blinded their eyes lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you would, they're acting as sinners. So were we before we came to know Christ. We were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I told you this wasn't a very pretty picture. But as we go, leave this building here in a little bit, we're going to go in contact with people who live just this way. Now, here's what they know, or here's what they think. Well, I'm a good person. I haven't killed anybody. I'm for the most part, I'm just overall good average Joe. And yet the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look now, verse number 12. He says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Please notice how he does this wrap up. He is saying mankind without Christ, he is without Christ, he has no hope, and he's without God in the world. That would be a terrible place to be, would it not? But hold it, I was there before I got saved as a 9-year-old boy. I was without Christ. I had no hope. I was out without God in the world. Those individuals yesterday at that funeral service who prayed and asked the Lord to save them, before they asked the Lord to save them, they were without Christ. They had no hope. They were without God in the world. This is the truth and reality of people in Gaines, the people in Swartz Creek, the people in Dearborn, the people in Greater Michigan, the people in the United States of America, the people around the world. They're lost and dead in trespasses and in sins. But with that bleak picture, notice this. In verse number 19, he talks about the matter of peace. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For he, verse 14, is our what? He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And verse number 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making what? Peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached what? Peace to you that were which far off and to them that were nigh. In other words, Jesus Christ, in the midst of an ugly picture of man without God, without hope, without Christ, he has given mankind an opportunity to be at peace with God. If you are at peace with God this morning, say amen. Amen. Do you have the peace of God in your heart, ruling and reigning? I trust you do. But we find in this context, he says that Jesus Christ, in the midst of the darkness of sin, came, if you would, and preached peace. He was the preaching the gospel of peace. So when you go back to our main text and see in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach what? Peace. The gospel of peace. Oh, people need peace. People are in a state of unrest. People are in a state of just unhappiness. They don't know where to turn. They're looking to places. They're looking to people. But they don't really know where to turn. And this is where, if you would, the church of Jesus Christ comes in. We go out into a lost world and we preach the gospel of peace. Brother Chad and I had the opportunity Friday night to sit down with a couple and just preach the gospel of peace to them. They need the Lord Jesus, and what a privilege to be able to do that. Everybody needs good news. Amen? Everybody needs good news. I love good news. But the best news anybody can ever hear is how that Jesus died for them and rose again, and one day he's going to come again. And how that if they will just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be saved. Not might be, hope to be, but shalt be saved. I'm telling you, church, the Bible's telling us that our message, our feet, have a message to share. But notice this, secondly, in our text. Our feet have a mission to fulfill. Look at this now, also in the text. He says, and bring glad tidings of good things. So our feet have a mission to fulfill. Every one of us. Every one of us have this mission to fulfill. I preached about it last Sunday. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the mission. Someone has said it is not so much that God has a mission for the church and the world as it is that God has a church for his mission in the world. You see, we're not going down, Josh is not going down there to start a party club. He's going down there to start a church and found it upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He goes with the authority from his local church, and he goes with the authority of the word of God, believing that the gospel works. That as he goes down and he preaches the gospel, Lord willing, he will see many, many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, our feet have a mission to fulfill. And may I say, every one of us in every row here this morning, if we know Christ as our Savior, you're a missionary. See, Sister Carol one time did go to the mission field, as we call it. I like to say everywhere is the mission field. God just put in her a different location when she went to Bangladesh and served there for quite a few years. And so she served there. But God relocated her. Now she has a mission field, if you would, down in Pontiac to the women and teens down there and saving life and also presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So while God put in her a different area, she's still a missionary. Hey, Brother Chad and Stephanie, they're missionaries. He has his own business, and he has opportunity to tell people about Christ. I think about Tracy and Laura. They're missionaries, but they have a burden for missions. They have a burden for lost souls, and they're using their, if you would, their business to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they get the opportunities to tell their coworkers and other people, they'll tell people of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are all missionaries. Listen to this quote. No one can say, since I'm not called to be a missionary, I do not have to evangelize my friends and neighbors. There is no difference in spiritual terms between a missionary witnessing in Nepal or witnessing in his hometown. We are all called to go, even if it is only to the next room or the next block. We're all called to go. The question is, am I being obedient to the heavenly call? The Apostle Paul was. Go back a few chapters to chapter 1 of Romans. Chapter 1 of Romans, and look if you would at verse number 14. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Notice the Apostle Paul, what he says here. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So he says, I have a debt to pay, if you would. I am a debtor. Verse 15, so much as in me is, I am what? I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. In other words, there is this preparedness. I'm ready. Verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, he had, if you would, a holy boldness about him to go preach the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At Rome at that time, there was an estimated 6 million slaves. Notice how he starts out chapter number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Those people could identify with that word servant because there were 6 million slaves in Rome at that time. And he says, now I'm ready to go at Rome also, but I have a higher calling. I am a slave, if you would. I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach that gospel. If I am tied to soldiers as he was, I'm going to preach them the gospel. When they change guards, here's another opportunity to preach the gospel. Wherever Paul went, Paul was a missionary. Paul started churches. Paul had an opportunity to preach the gospel wherever he went. And our feet this morning have a mission to fulfill. But notice this. Our feet have a master to serve. What you don't see here in Romans chapter 10, you will find in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 17. But the end of that verse in Isaiah 52 and verse number 17, it says this, thy God reigneth. And you see, in the context here then, even though that is not here in this passage, but it is in Isaiah, And I believe that is there for us to realize, hold it, we are doing this out of obedience to the Master who has called us to go. He has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he's saying that your God reigns. Hey, church, I love the book of Revelation. I've been reading it, as you know, for many years now, and one of the things I know is this, that one day Jesus Christ is going to come to this earth and he's going to rule and reign upon planet earth. Hey, I'm looking forward to that day. Aren't you? I'm looking forward to that day when he rules and reigns upon the earth. And may I say, as we think about that then, until that day happens, we have a master to serve. We are to serve obediently. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. We are to serve lovingly. The Apostle Paul said that the love of Christ constrains me. It wasn't the nice hotels in that day. It wasn't the nice cars. He says, what motivates me is when I stop and I think about the love of Christ toward me. He says, I'm overwhelmed by the very thought that God would love me enough that he would send his son Jesus to die for me. You've heard preachers say, I don't say it too much, but if we got what we really deserve, that we would die and that we'd go to hell. But may I say this morning, I am so glad because of God's grace in my life that I'll not see one second of hell. It's not because I'm good, it's because of his grace. It's because of his grace. And Paul was overwhelmed with the grace of God in his life. And he says, it's that grace, it is that love that compels me to go with my feet and to serve my master wherever I am. And he served, we are to serve with a sense of urgency. Jesus had that sense of urgency. Remember this verse, he says, night cometh when no man can work. This past summer, as you know, I went through a series of messages with you entitled Future Events That Will Rock the World. As we went through that series, I hope that you understood that our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Jesus Christ is coming at any moment. It ought to then put within us a sense of urgency that we are to serve with this sense of urgency, because there's one thing we will not do in heaven. We will not go and tell others of Jesus. Won't be any need. Because all those in heaven already know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We don't have to evangelize them. Evangelism is what we do now. But in heaven, we won't do it. But we need to do it with a sense of urgency. Brother Josh had mentioned, we got to get this going now. He realizes the importance of doing things decently in order. But if he had his way, he would. He wouldn't be here this morning. He'd be down there. Because he's so burdened for those people that they would come to know Christ as Savior. And church, we know not. Listen to me carefully. None of us here this morning know what November 4th is going to bring. Not a one of us. I'm not going to get political on you, so just chill, all right? Not a one of us here to know what November 4th is going to bring, who's going to win, who's going to lose. We don't know. We're praying, we're asking God, and so forth. But regardless of who wins, guess who's still on the throne? God. Amen? That, on November 4th, if the outcome is not the way you want it to go, understand, God has a purpose. God has a purpose. Our hope is not in politics. Our hope's in Jesus. And people in this United States of America, they need Jesus. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus. And it's time that we then say, hey, I'm going to be urgent about this matter. I'm going to tell my neighbor about Christ. I have neighbors around me that I pray for. I have been praying for them for years that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. I have gone to their doors and I have talked to them and I'm burdened for them. Still not saved, but yet there is that urgency as I pray for them because I realize that if they die without Christ, they die in their sin and they spend all of eternity in a Christless hell. Oh, may it not be though, because I never cared enough to walk across the street or to go next door and tell them. May it be that I had the opportunity, which I have taken advantage of, and not only invited in the church, but to tell them of Jesus. I tell you, church, the hour is urgent. God only has one method to accomplish his mission. Listen carefully to this. That is your feet. Your feet. You know, those few feet that maybe you don't think are too beautiful. But God gave you 2 feet to get up and go. To get up and go and tell others. We do need to use every technological means. Brother Josh has helped our church out. He's talked about how this church has been a blessing to him, but he's been a blessing to us. He's helped us with our sound system and so forth. I'm so thankful for that. And our website and all of that. And as thankful as I am that we are on, even this morning, Facebook Live, and I'm thankful that we have that at our disposal. But God's number one method still is our feet. We are to go. Let me share this with you, and then we'll wrap this up this morning. There was a missionary in the 19th century by the name of George Stott. George Stott was a missionary to China. Now, George had no seminary education. He was not even a Bible scholar. And he had only one leg. At the age of 19, he experienced a serious leg injury. And in the next couple of years, at the age of 21, he had to end up getting that leg amputated. But it was during that time in which he was going through that great trial in his life that he came into the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then God put within him the burden for the Chinese people to reach them. So if you would, he hitched up with a missionary there by the name of Hudson Taylor to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in China. But before he went to China, someone asked him, why would you even think about leaving Scotland? Why would you leave your country and go to China on one leg? And he answered, I do not see those with 2 legs going, so I must go. And may I say this morning, if he can go on one leg, you and I can go on 2. You and I can get on our feet this morning and go. And may I say this morning, it is time for us to get on our feet and go to our neighbor, to go to our coworker, to go to our relatives, to go to our school friends, to go to the stranger. And yes, maybe God is calling someone out of this church to go to the mission field somewhere. And purposely set the rest of your life in order, saying, I'm going to go. I'm going to follow the call of God in my life. I'm going to preach the gospel to those who have never heard. You see, in this passage, God says, how beautiful are the feet of them that go. So the next time you think you have ugly feet, if you are being obedient to God and trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God looks at your feet. And he says, there's some beautiful feet right there. Because they are people who are bearers of the good news of the gospel of peace. Are you being obedient to follow God's command? This morning, the challenge to us is to get on our feet and go. Get on our feet and go. And get on our feet. And go. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, as every head bowed, every eyes closed this morning, I wonder if there'd be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life, I am not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I really do have doubts about that. This morning, God has touched my heart. I want to set aside these doubts, and I truly want to come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand, rub your hat, say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. Would you raise your hand, rub your hat, anyone at all, while we wait? Anybody at all? Yes, God bless you. Is there somebody else? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. Anybody else? Would it be those here this morning who say, Pastor, in my life, I realize this great commission that God has given to the church, that's given to me. And though while physically I may not think I have very beautiful feet, I want God to be able, if you would, to look upon my feet and see them as beautiful because I'm going and being obedient. I'm doing it from love. I would that you remember me in prayer this week, that God would use me to go to anyone he puts in my path and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Do you remember me in prayer, Pastor, that I'll be bold to do that, that I'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit? If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand, rub your head? Yes, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Several hands. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? In just a moment, we'll stand together. Sherry will begin to play. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. This morning I'm going to encourage you to come and just kneel here and say, Lord, use me this week. Help me to tell somebody of Jesus. It may be you have somebody that's heavy on your heart. You've been praying for them, but maybe this morning you just want to come and just kneel here and just spend some time praying for them, that they would be broken before God, that they would come to know Christ. It may be God's been impressing upon your heart to surrender your life for the cause of missions. Won't you surrender today? Father, how I thank you for working in hearts. Many, many hands. You have seen them, but more importantly, you see their hearts. And Father, how I would ask that you would strengthen them, that you would help them to be bold, to be loving, to be obedient, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ this week to people in need. Our great hope in this country is not a politician. Our great hope is Jesus. And so help us who know him to go boldly and tell others of Jesus this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.